And I want to take, as they are finding their way downstairs with Mr. Jones, who will be their spiritual guide, I want to take a moment. I told Dan, I'm going to do this whether he wants me to or not. When our associate pastor left us this time last year, we were worried about what was going to happen. How are we going to manage? And nobody was more worried about that than I was. But you know what? Remarkable things. God is faithful, and God can be trusted. And it just so happened that Dan Holloway had retired after 28 years as a senior pastor at Unity Presbyterian Church in Rock Hill. And he had moved from Rock Hill to the Irmo Chapin area with his wife, Carol, to be closer to a daughter. And he was also working part-time for Pinnacle Leadership Associates, a church consulting and clergy support organization. I found out that Dan was in our area, and I will say it took a tiny bit of arm twisting on my part to convince Dan to come and to help us for about 20 hours a week at first. He committed to serve as our interim associate pastor from January through May of 2018. It didn't take us any time at all to realize what a wonderful person and what a deep resource we had in Dan. And the love and the appreciation that this congregation extended to Dan became quickly apparent. So we were grateful, might I say relieved, when Dan said yes, he would extend his service with us from July until the end of December. Well, the bad news is the end of December is upon us. Several times a week for the whole year, Dan has driven from the Chapin area. Sometimes, depending on traffic and weather, it can take him an hour or more to get here. And more importantly, Dan, when he leaves the Irmo Chapin area, leaves Carol to fend for herself on Sunday mornings. And when he retired, she expected to have a seatmate rather than be sitting by herself as she has done for so, so long in worship. So Carol's willingness to allow Dan to help us is something that I want to lift up and for which I want to thank Carol. Carol, can you just raise your hand since so folks will see where you are to come and thank you. But Dan did actually promise her, and we can only honor Dan's promise to actually try and retire again. Dan and Carol, after this Sunday, will be doing what everyone else does and doing some traveling and also sitting in the pews at McGregor Presbyterian Church, which is much, much nearer to where they live. So we can only wish them well and thank you both for your love and your service and your gifts. We don't know yet who will replace Dan. Personnel and the search committee and I are hard at work trying to identify that next person. This guy isn't an easy act to follow. So I do covet your prayers as that God will raise up a next parish associate for pastoral care that is as capable and wise and wonderful as Dan Holloway. And so as a small token of our thanks, the session and the personnel ministry have provided a way to give a gift both to Dan and to Carol. So Dan, you need to come up here. One of these presents is more for Dan and one is for both. But what they did is y'all know Dan is a golfer, right? So we have some golf balls to make good on your promise and the opportunity to play a round of golf at one of his favorite courses, which is at Kiowa. Now that's, I know, Carol, I'm sorry, but you make him let you drive the cart, okay? And then the other part I hope will be for both of you, and that is a dinner at one of their favorite restaurants that's very close by, all in one of our cool Chico bags to take with you. So we wish you God's richest blessing and cannot say enough how grateful we are for what you have given and shared and with us here at Forest Lake. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, the sermon is going to say some things that I hope will be an appropriate response to the wonder of being here and the privilege of being here for this year. And believe me when I say the privilege really has been mine, and I am deeply, deeply grateful. Let's continue to center ourselves in God's word. Let's pray together. God of past, present, and future, God who loves us beyond our understanding and who's always doing a new thing, we give thanks for your providential care, for your continual presence, and for your promises never to leave us alone. Help us to believe those promises even more fully as we worship together today. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. The Old Testament lesson today comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. And hear God's word from the New Testament, from the Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all these things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord. One of my first responsibilities as a staff member here at Forest Lake was to facilitate the work of a Disciples Bible study group. This particular group met on Wednesday mornings last winter and spring, and it was a great introduction to the people of this faith community. I remember saying to Carol when I went home after that first Bible study, "If all the people of this church are like the ones I met today at Bible study, I think I'm going to like this just fine." And that, of course, is exactly what has happened. I have become quite infatuated with this congregation, as Carol can tell you, and I have found my life enriched immeasurably by our time together. But there is one unfinished piece of business that emerged from that Bible study that I want to attend to today. I admitted at one point during the Bible study that I hadn't preached much from the book of Revelation, And the response that came from one of the class members was something like this: "Why not?" Now, to be fair, she said it in a much nicer way than that, but basically she invited me to include Revelation in my preaching rotation with a bit more frequency, which I thought, well, you know, you got a point there. I halfway tried it earlier this year, but I thought, no, I got to try it one more time. I need to do it a little more fully. And since my last day on the payroll is today, then I figure I better do it today. Now, any honest interpreter of Scripture would acknowledge that Revelation contains its own set of challenges. This is apocalyptic literature, which means it is highly dependent on symbolism and refers to matters about which we have very limited information. It seems likely that John writes this as a way to protect himself and the church to which he wrote. It seems as well that the church was undergoing great persecution, though, again, we don't know all of the details about that. And that puts us at a real disadvantage when it comes to interpreting this book, so we acknowledge that right here at the beginning. But even if that is true, the revelation of John is actually a perfect backdrop for our conversation today, and not just because I need to balance out my preaching a bit more. No, the book of Revelation is the right text for us today because it invites us to consider the meaning of our lives in a time of transition, in a time of both change and, in some sense, uncertainty. It invites us to acknowledge the very real losses that are a part of our lives and yet to hold fast to the power of God who makes all things new. The book of Revelation invites us to anchor our hope in God, remembering God's providential care for us even in the most trying times, and by remembering that our lives are always in God's hands. I've been thinking about that a great deal in recent days as I've been thinking about my previous congregation, Unity Presbyterian in Fort Mill. As Ellen shared in the prayer concerns a few weeks ago, a terrible fire erupted in that facility on a Sunday night just 3 weeks ago now, and some of the oldest structures of that church were basically destroyed. While the firefighters did a remarkable job of containing the fire and saving other parts of the building, including the newer sanctuary and much of the older sanctuary, there has still been major disruption of the ministry of that congregation. Staff members have lost their offices, some temporarily, some permanently. Cherished programs have had to be relocated or, in some cases, canceled with very little notice. While there is great gratitude that there was no loss of life, there is also a deep sense of grief for what has been destroyed. And this, I think, is a symbol for what many of us experience in our lives in one way or another. We grow through seasons of loss, seasons of change, seasons of uncertainty, and it can be a frightening place to live. We come to the end of one season and it's not at all clear what is coming next. And this can be a very frightening time in our lives. But this, you see, is the very place that we need to hear from the revelation of John. For here is the truth that our authors want to proclaim. Every ending is also a beginning. The completion of one task, of one project, of one season of life is also the beginning of the next task and the next season of life. We know this if we really think about it. A commencement speech and the bestowing of a diploma marks the end of school and the beginning of adult life. A couple takes vows of holy union that mark the end of singleness and the beginning of life as a couple, both emotionally and legally. Death is the end of one life, and for those left behind, the beginning of life without the one who has passed away. And for those of us who have in fact died, it's also the beginning of a life that we can only describe as resurrection. While these are big and obvious ones, obvious examples, it's equally true for seemingly smaller and less obvious examples. a first paid job as a teenager, signing up for Social Security, changing careers when you were sure you were way too old to do that. These are all times and places when we end one part of our life only to begin a new part beyond all of our previous experiences. Robert Fulghum writes of such an experience in his book, From Beginning to End. He writes this: "In the spring of my 12th year, my mother thought I was finally old enough to be trusted to go downtown and back on the bus alone. She didn't know that I was already beyond buses. I had actually driven her car around the neighborhood once when she was away from home. The rite of passage was a scary moment. The first time I started, the car shifted into gear and rolled off down the street. I was thinking to myself, I am going to die. And if I don't, my mother's surely going to kill me. And oh my gosh, I'm driving. I went around the block only once, but that was enough. When I had safely parked the car in the driveway, I sat very still in the driver's seat, holding on to the wheel for a long time. A terrified kid got into the car when this adventure began. When the door opened, in one sense, a driver got out. I had passed over from one stage of life to another, from child in danger to dangerous child." Now, I don't tell the story to commend the behavior. I hope you know that. Rather, I want to make the point that life is full of transitions, of moving from one season to the next. Life is full of endings and beginnings. Fulghum recognized the beginning of his life as a driver meant the end of a certain childish dependence. He also helps us understand something about these moments, even if we only recognize them in retrospect. He gives us a word for the phenomena of passage from one stage to the next. When endings become beginnings, the word is liminality. From the Latin word limen, it means the centerpiece of the doorway, and liminality is the moment of crossing over. It describes the transitional phase of personal change wherein one is neither in the old state of being or in the new and not quite aware of the implications of the event. Life, Fulghum says, is nothing but moments of crossing over. And stitching these moments together into a comforting quilt of wisdom is the task of one's later years. There is a strong sense in which the Christian church is in a liminal space these days. We are in a time of transition from what has been to what we will eventually be. The day has passed when people generally feel obligated to be a part of the church. Today we must make the case for why faith matters, and even more for why the church is an important conversation partner for the walk of faith. The church of the future may well require new forms and new approaches to the sharing of the gospel, and we should not be afraid to consider what those might be. This congregation has already begun the process of doing that, and I think rightly so. But the point of this text is that we live into this new future, not always knowing where we're going to be landing, but doing so with the sure and steadfast faith that the God who made us will care for us and show us God's new way. Fear not remains God's word of truth to all of us. There was a master who for years had trained a group of disciples. The master was coming to the end of his life, and the disciples feared his leaving and what they would do once he was gone. Close to the end, they approached their master and they said to him, "What will we do?" "Oh, you'll see," said the master. "And what will we see when you're gone?" they asked. With a twinkle in his eye, the master said, "All I ever did was to sit on the riverbank handing out water to you. After I'm gone, I trust you will notice that the river is still there. This is the lesson we need to hear. Life comes from the river, not from the people who give us the water. The river of grace remains. The presence of God sustains us. Even when we come to the end of one part of our journey, God has more stories to write for us, in us, and through us, in this life, or perhaps even in the next. Now, obviously, not all of our threshold stories are as dramatic as the one that I just shared with you. More often than not, the actual threshold moments of our lives don't stand out that much. We rush headlong into the next and into the next, and the truth be known, some of them may even be forgotten as they become just a part of the fabric of our lives. But some experiences do stay with us. Some of them are of the I'll never forget the time in my life when variety. And what I want you to know today is that this has been the case for me for my time at Forest Lake. I will long remember your kindness, your warm welcome, your willingness to listen to my teaching and to my preaching. I will not forget your graciousness when I would forget your names because you reminded me of somebody else I knew in a previous congregation. Or the ways you have encouraged me in my ministry when I didn't quite know how things were done around here, or when I would forget to turn the microphone on, you know, at a children's sermon. I will never forget the ways in which you have nurtured me, supported me, and I think even loved me. One does not forget such an experience as this, and for that, thank you. I mean it when I say I treasure this year. But I also affirm the truth of our faith, that in life and in death we belong to God. I affirm the truth that even when we do not know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. I affirm the truth that every ending is also a beginning. A couple of final stories that remind me of this. One comes from my former colleague at Unity Presbyterian, Lindsay White, the associate pastor for youth ministry. Her office was one of the ones that was destroyed in the fire, with many precious possessions lost, but thankfully not all. This is what she wrote on Facebook on the day after the fire. Until about an hour ago, I had been paralyzed with grief and anxiety, as many of us here at Unity have been. An hour ago, a fireman pulled a Bible I've had since my confirmation out of the remains of my office. It's lived through a flood before this. It's stuck together by duct tape. But it's also the first place I wrote these words. Maybe I should be a pastor. And questions I asked as a teenager that have served as reminders my whole career. Words cannot express how incredibly grateful I am that this was saved for me, this beat-up book. This brought me so much hope. There will be hard days ahead, and the recovery will be slow and painful, but like my Bible, I believe we will come out on the other side, cherished and loved by God, united in our love and compassion for one another. And so she concludes, keep praying. Sweet friends, truly God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. An ending is also a beginning when we stand in God's word. And one final story, one that will tell you more about me than I would probably want you to know, but I think I'm going to share it anyway. I shared a story with you a couple of moments ago in the sermon about the river of God's grace that remains even after we are gone from this earth. But the truth is, earlier this week when I was trying to remember that story, I remembered parts of it, but I couldn't remember the punchline, the last line of the story. I heard it years ago, but you know how that works sometimes. It just wouldn't all come down. And I knew it had to do with transitions, and I knew that I liked the story, but I couldn't remember the exact ending to it. And I was getting kind of desperate, so I do what all desperate people do. I went to Google. And I typed in the words endings and beginnings into the browser to see if by some chance the story might appear. And sure enough, there were lots of stories and even a few sermons under the headings of endings and beginnings. And so I thought, okay, well, I clicked on the first one that I came to, one of the sermons, and glory be, there was my story. And that's how I told it to you today, because somebody else reminded me of the ending. But here's the amazing part. When I looked to see who had written the sermon, who I needed to thank for helping me with my weak memory, it was the Reverend Mark Deal, the man who now serves as the interim senior pastor at Unity Presbyterian Church. The one who is now charged with leading the effort to rebuild the church after the fire and to help walk into God's new future. And I smile at God, and I'm grateful. The circle of life continues. When we have placed our hand into the hand of God and have traveled together the road before us, then we have a story to share, a gift to give, a promise to pass on to the next generation. We know a great and wonderful truth. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in God's love, we will not just survive. No, friends, we will thrive. Thanks be to God.